Trump-Clinton debate showdown.
Voters want to take the measure. Does the person have the right stuff?
Farewell to a legend.
Arno Palmer is the Masters champion.
And to a rising baseball star.
The passion he felt about playing. That's what I think about.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, 6 weeks before the election, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump square off tonight in their first presidential debate. And with so much on the line, a record-shattering audience is expected to tune in. CBS's Stephen Portnoy begins our coverage in Hempstead, New York.
The highly anticipated face-off in an auditorium here on the Hofstra University campus offers Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton the chance to sway voters who might be skeptical. CBS News political director John Dickerson.
Voters who are watching might very well take a new and fresh impression about these candidates. That might seem impossible given that we've got two candidates who are probably, this is probably the best known set of candidates we may ever have had in presidential politics.
For 90 minutes, Trump and Clinton will stand at podiums on a set that viewers will find familiar. The format, 6 15-minute segments on security, prosperity, and America's direction. Clinton's running mate Tim Kaine tells CBS News the forum will offer the audience unique insight.
There's a real opportunity to hear somebody say something and then get into, is that actually true or not?
The Clinton camp is openly advocating for moderator Lester Holt to call Trump out on falsehoods. Campaign manager Robbie Mook on CNN.
Unless he shows his ability to conduct himself without lying constantly, he is not getting a passing grade on this debate, and he's not ready to be president of the United States.
Trump's running mate Mike Pence tells CBS News Trump will absolutely tell the truth tonight.
I think Donald Trump has been preparing for this debate for his entire lifetime.
CBS's Pam Coulter is here in Hempstead.
There's a lot at stake as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton take each other on with possible Super Bowl-level viewership.
What's the old saying? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. And this, for many voters, this will be the first real impression they have of these candidates.
Presidential Debate Commission co-chair Frank Fahrenkopf says this one is unusual because both candidates are viewed so negatively. So what did they need to do? Michael Feldman is a Democratic strategist.
I would look for both candidates to use self-deprecating humor as a way to defy the caricature around them.
The jockeying for advantage can start immediately.
Taller candidates will spend more time trying to engage in the handshake.
Republican strategist Dan Senor says Trump has to watch his expressions.
If she's talking and he looks not like a president, he is setting himself back.
The bottom line, says Fahrenkopf, people want to like their president.
It's not always the smartest person who they will vote for. It's someone they feel comfortable with and comfortable with to lead the nation.
The strategists believe this debate could set the race on a new trajectory. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Hempstead, New York.
And you can hear tonight's debate on many of these CBS News stations. Arnold Palmer never ran for office, but if he had, there's not much doubt he would have won. The legendary and popular golfer died yesterday at 87, complications from heart problems. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
Mr. Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer was one of those rare athletes who changed the face of his sport.
Arnold Palmer is the new British Open champion.
Palmer first emerged on the professional scene in 1955 and quickly became a star. He would eventually win 62 tour events, including the U.S. Open once, the British Open twice, and the Masters four times.
Rolling and into the hole. The 17th and 18th holes.
But what made Arnold Palmer different from other golfing greats was the way he connected with the average fan. He helped turn golf from a sport for the elite into a sport for the masses, and his timing was perfect. Just as television was becoming the dominant medium, Palmer became TV's first sports superstar.
I would just like to think that maybe if I have left the game in better shape than I found it when I started. I'll be happy for that, and I hope the fans will be.
Palmer had a loyal following nicknamed Arnie's Army. Now the leader of the army is gone. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Well, Jose Fernandez's path to sports greatness ended abruptly and tragically over the weekend. The 24-year-old all-star pitcher was killed along with two other people in a boating accident off Miami Beach. Marlins manager Don Mattingly says Fernandez played the game with intensity and joy.
You just seen that little kid that you see when you watch kids play Little League or something like that. That's the joy that Jose played with.
Fernandez was a native of Cuba. He failed in three attempts to make it to the U.S., but finally did with his mother when he was 15 years old. Thousands of people have left their homes in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, because of floodwaters from the swollen Cedar River, and it could be days before they're allowed to return.
It really makes you look at what you have, especially around you, and the wonderful people that are always, always there to help you no matter what.
Temporary levees have been built to try to hold off the rising water. A court appearance is set for today in Washington State for the man accused of gunning down five people Friday night at a department store makeup counter. A former high school classmate puts it this way about 20-year-old Arjan Shatan.
He was very hurtful towards girls in a, like, he would sexually harass them and bully a lot of them.
He also had several run-ins with the law in recent years. The city of Charlotte has lifted its midnight to 6 a.m. curfew.
Why are you in riot gear? We don't see no riot here.
But CBS's Jim Krasula tells us there were protests over the fatal police shooting of a black man.
The Sunday night protests were much more tense. I've witnessed several confrontations between protesters and police. I've even seen police arresting several protesters. And unlike the previous two nights, police openly were wearing riot gear. Protesters have even been talking about how there's much more tension tonight.
In South America, the government of Colombia is signing a peace deal with the country's largest rebel group. It's designed to end 5 decades of violence blamed in part on the cocaine trade. More than 220,000 have died and 8 million have been displaced over the last half century. A Mexican court hears the extradition case of drug lord El Chapo Guzman today. The U.S. wants to put him on trial. In some places, an after-school tradition has been erased like chalk on a blackboard. Here's CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Kids don't need Charlie Brown and the gang to tell them
homework, yuck.
So they'll be happy to know a small but growing number of elementary schools, along with some teachers, are doing away with homework in favor of more time for playing, family, reading books, and sleep. They subscribe to a growing movement among educators that there's little to no correlation between homework and achievement for younger children. One principal says the exhaustion and frustration are actually squashing an interest in learning, along with dashing other passions. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
In tiny Garrettsville, Ohio, more than 10,000 people have turned out each of the last few weekends for a raffle at a bowling alley. Yesterday, a woman won it, striking it rich. The jackpot was just over $3 million. That's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.